This morning's second scripture reading comes to us from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, and verses 11b through 13. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Jesus Christ. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things: all that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you. I'm not saying this because I need anything, for I have learned how to be content in any circumstance. I know the experience of being in need and of having more than enough. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every circumstance, whether full or hungry, or whether having plenty or being poor. I can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, Mark has kindly agreed to follow along in the Common English Bible because all my notes are in the New King James, so I'm actually going to be reading from the New King James, and he'll help us clarify a little bit as we go along. This is the season of joy coming up. We have all these holidays back to back to back, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And you see, if you've been a part of this weekend, you've seen the one-man show of A Christmas Carol that was just held in the sanctuary the other night. Yesterday was all the Dickens and Victorian festival and the carolers and everything around town. And I think that continues again today until 4 o'clock. And we're certainly seeing a lot of joy to the world coming along. But I don't know about you, when I was raising my children, it seemed to bring more stress than it did joy. With all the in-laws at the holiday table for Thanksgiving dinner, and is Aunt Ethel going to fight with Uncle Melvin again, and do I have enough food to go around, and do we have enough money to cover everything, are the presents going to get here in time for Christmas, is she going to like what I bought her this year, because she really didn't like it last year. All these things just kind of pile up, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of joy. And the reason for that is because it's one thing to sing joy to the world, but that's not truly joy. Because joy is a God-given gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I think it's Galatians 5:22 says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. That's the second fruit of the Spirit. So it's a pretty big gift from God. Pastor James MacDonald, refers to joy as a God-given delight in the persons, purposes, and places of Christ. And what that means is joy comes from doing God's work with God's people in God's place. Gathering together in fellowship, together with God's people. Helping greet people as they come through the door as an usher, as Betty is looking for people. That's a little plug. We're looking for people to help greet. So if that's something that you can feel you can find joy in and roll up your sleeves and get to work in God's house, that's a good place to start. Hanging up the greens, for example, or volunteering to be on session or a deacon. All of these things help to bring joy because joy is a supernatural, God-given gift. It's a delight in the people, places, and purposes of God. So if you don't have that in your heart, if you don't seek that kind of joy out, then what you get is all of this out here. And it's okay to listen to the news and watch the news and hear the gossip, as long as you're not taking it into here. And what happens if you don't have that joy to help block all this out, then all of this junk, all of this garbage, all this chaos, the strife that we have with North Korea, or all the natural disasters along our southern coastline, or these sexual harassment allegations, all these things, this garbage comes into here. And then when it fills this up, it goes down here. And then it comes out here. And nobody wants that. So what Paul's talking about this morning is how to find that joy for us. And then once we find it, how to keep it. And he starts in verse 6. How do you find joy? It's really simple to hear, not so easy to do. Be anxious for nothing, is what my text says. Be anxious for nothing. Yours says, Mark, what does yours say there? The Pew Bible?
Don't be anxious about anything.
Thank you. Be anxious for nothing. Stop worrying about all this garbage. You can listen to it. You can see it. You can be aware of it. You can know it's there. But stop taking it in and stressing over it. Easy to say, not so easy to do, right? So what do you do with all of that junk? Well, he continues. In everything by prayer, and I know that the Common English omits this word, and it's an important word. In everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is an earnest pleading. It's coming to God with the right heart in prayer. It's not just saying, you know, God, we pray for the people in Puerto Rico and blah, blah. It's meaning what you're saying. It's, God, I really am struggling with this. Why are so many problems happening right now? Take this from us and from my heart so that it's not filling my mind with this stress and anxiety. It's coming to him with that proper heart, but also with thanksgiving. Knowing that he's going to take care of that for you and he's going to take care of that situation. He's going to make all paths straight and all things right for his purpose, right? So coming to him with prayer and a proper heart, knowing in thankfulness that he's going to take it off your shoulders for you. He's going to take that burden. So that's how to find joy. If you can keep that out, give it to him. My greatest friend in this world, I was going through a divorce, and after years of 18 years of marriage and 17 years of it trying to make this work, and it just wasn't working, she told me something so profound and so simple at the same time, and many of you probably heard me say it to you. If you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry about something, then and that's where you're just keeping yourself, then don't bother giving it to God, because it's something that you're owning for yourself and taking in, and then you're nurturing that fear and that worry. But if you're going to pray about it, you got to let it go. Because if you don't let it go and you continue to worry, what you're saying is, God, I don't really trust you to take care of this for me. I know you said you'd take it, but you know, I might come up with something else on my own that maybe you're not thinking of, but that's no good. So if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Get rid of the anxiety. That's how to find joy. Paul tells us how to keep that once we found it in verse 8. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report. What does yours say in there, Mark? Does it say anything about good report in the Pew Bible? Basically, that just means things that are generally accepted as good, such as kindness, respect for others, sacrifice. Those things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything worthy of praise to God, those are the things that you think on, as Dave sang beautifully earlier. Those are the things you focus on. Keep the blackness and the garbage out. And that's a really difficult thing to do. It's the struggle of my life, is to keep the darkness out and shift my attention to the good things that God has done in our lives. We all have things we can focus on. And that's what we need to do. You have to constantly retrain yourself and be aware that you're starting to slide into the negative things about life and start bringing the good things back in. That's how you keep your joy. And it requires your constant attention. I was helping to sell tickets to this Christmas Carol. I didn't get to see the whole performance. I've heard it was really good. But I did notice in this program that I thought was remarkable, this little section that was published by Charles Dickens in 1836 that talks about this. And he wrote in 1836, "There are people who will tell you that Christmas is not to them what it used to be, that each succeeding Christmas has found some cherished hope or happy prospect of the year before dimmed or passed away. Never heed such dismal reminiscences, but draw your chair nearer the blazing fire. Fill the glass and send round the song, and if your room be smaller than it was a dozen years ago, or if your glass be filled with reeking punch instead of sparkling wine, put a good face on the matter, and empty it offhand, and fill another, and tall off the old ditty you used to sing, and thank God it's no worse. Reflect on your present blessings, of which everyone has plenty, not on your past misfortunes, of which everyone has some. Fill your glass again, and with a merry face and a contented heart. Our life on it, but your Christmas shall be merry, and your new year a happy one." Now, I don't know about all the filling your glass part, but that's good advice, and that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Think on the good things and not on the bad. And finally, in how to keep your joy, he offers this other pretty profound statement. "I have learned," this is in verse 11, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Imagine that. If you know anything about Paul, imagine that statement and how powerful it is. Paul, who spent years in two different prisons on two continents, who was chained to Roman centurions for a number of years, who was shipwrecked off the Isle of Malta. It's amazing that he says, it doesn't matter. I'm content wherever I am, in whatever state I am, hungry or full, suffering or not. How can you do that, Paul? "Because I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me." That same gift is available to you as well, that joy. You don't have to buy into all the garbage. If you can keep your focus on the good things in life, then what happens is, if you start looking here, that's what comes in here and moves to here and comes out here. And that's what we want. Joy is a gift, just like salvation. But just like salvation, you have to seek it. You've been invited, but you have to accept. So this season, as things get crazy, whether you're liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, whether you voted for the sitting president or didn't, it doesn't matter. It's moot. You can find your joy through prayer and through God. Let's bow our heads together for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. It always shines like a lamp for our feet, a light on our path. We thank you for your promise of joy, that supernatural gift that only your children can truly know. But we also thank you that there is not a single person on the face of your world who cannot know this gift, who cannot receive it. Just like your promise of salvation, it is freely given to all who seek it. Help us to remember to seek it, Lord, in all places, in all times. We ask this in the strong and precious name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.